You're tuned to the one show that takes a look at life from another perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of the Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and we're going to be talking about storytelling, but we'll get to that in just a moment. If you're listening to this show live, then you are on octalkradio.net. If you're listening to our podcast, then thank you for visiting our website, www.thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other shows with some great guests. Hey, let me start out with our closing message because it's 4 o'clock here on the West Coast. And at 5 o'clock tonight, the local Orange County chapter of the International Coach Federation has its traditional annual meeting where they have invited 5 different ICF-accredited coaching training schools to come and present demonstrations of coaching. So, hey, you still have an hour to get there. I don't know where you're at, but it's in Irvine. Get in the car. You can catch this later on the Podbeam site. So if you miss me because of that, I'll give you a written excuse. Okay, let's talk about storytelling. You know, what do you say when people ask you coaching? What is that all about? Or what do you do for a living? Do you tell them about the technical process of coaching, inquiry, questioning, or do you try to impress them with your credentials that I'm a master certified coach, I've been doing this for 20 years? What do you do? Let me suggest that what you should do is tell them a story. Here's my response. Let me tell you a true story. As soon as I pulled up to the curb in front of Ralph and Sue's house, I realized that when I entered the house, I had the same feeling. The place just felt, well, very serene, almost mystical. I'd been coaching Ralph for almost a year now, ever since he took over as the owner-president of the VAR sales company. Ralph had been their top salesperson, and when the owner wanted to retire, it seemed logical for him to buy the company. We had been focusing our coaching on management and organizational issues, but frankly, not very successfully. I was curious why Ralph had asked me to meet him for a coaching session at his home with his wife, Sue, who had not been involved in our coaching. I found out as soon as I walked in the door. Almost immediately, they both started to tell me the same story. They were frustrated and unhappy. As hard as Ralph tried, his heart was just not into being president of the company, and this was carrying over into their personal life. "What should I do?" he asked. "Should I sell the company? Should I hire someone else to run it and go back to being the salesperson?" He was frustrated. Well, we talked a little bit about the business issues. I asked some questions, and the frustration just, you know, bubbled over. But when I questioned Ralph, "What is it you do, Ralph, that really brings you happiness?" he responded immediately with one word, "Chess." "Chess," I said. It turned out that Ralph had been somewhat of a child prodigy when it came to chess. In fact, it influenced his whole outlook on life, and when he was involved in the game, it created a very serene feeling that lasted well beyond the actual game. That started to explain the feeling I got from their house. I asked him, "If there were no limits, if you could do whatever you wanted in life, what would you do?" His response was, "I'd set up a school for children to teach them how to play chess, because I believe that learning how to play chess prepares them better than anything else for the world." Wow. Of course, you know how the story ended. Ralph was able to bring in a partner to run the company. He sold part-time and was able to start his school, chess school for kids. So what is it that you're passionate about that gives you energy? Are you using that interest fully or just ignoring it as childish? This is what coaching is all about, finding your passion and helping you to take full advantage of it. So what's your passion? Well, that's the way I answer the question, what do you do? Or what is coaching all about? I tell them a story. You know, I was inspired to look into this storytelling by a book called Tell to Win by Peter Guber. Peter has an illustrious career in the entertainment business. He was CEO of Sony Pictures, chairman and CEO for Mandalay Entertainment Group. He was involved in award-winning productions like Midnight Express, The Color Purple, Gorilla in the Mist, Rain Man. It goes on and on. Well, Peter wrote a wonderful book called Tell It to Win, Connect, Persuade, and Triumph with the Hidden Power of Story. Let me just read you a paragraph from the fly cover of the book because it says better than I could. He says, today everyone, whether they know it or not, is in the emotional transportation business. More and more, success is won by creating compelling stories that have the power to move partners, shareholders, customers, and employees to action. Simply put, if you can't tell it, you can't sell it. And this book tells you how to do both. Historically, stories have always been igniters of action, moving people to do things. But recently, it's become clear that purposeful stories, those created with a specific mission in mind, are absolutely essential in persuading others to support a vision, a dream, or a cause. And that's from the fly cover of his book, Tell to Win. This is a great book. It is got lots of really good tips in it about telling stories. It's got tremendously entertaining stories. Almost too entertaining. I really got caught up in it. But I would encourage you to think about using storytelling more in your business. You know, it more and more I am running into sales training, seminars, environments, programs, where they talk about what is the story you're telling. Because, you know, we don't remember the facts and figures. What we remember is stories. We connect with emotions, not with data. After we've got an emotional response, we go looking for data to support our emotional response. But it's really all about telling a story that gets across the point that you want to make. Now, you can tell stories for lots of different reasons, you know, but let me give you some tips about how you want to tell a story. First, you want to be authentic. You know, you don't want fiction. You don't want false emotions. You want to tell a true story. The story I told you, true story. The names were changed. The business they were in was changed. But, hey, absolutely true story. You want to pay attention to the audience. You want to make sure that your stories are so long. You know, whether we like it or not, we're really good at multitasking. And if we aren't absolutely focused in on what people are talking about, if we aren't entertained, our mind starts to wander and we're off doing something else. How many times in the evening have you sat down to watch a program and then discovered you didn't know what was going on the TV because it wasn't that interesting and your mind had gone somewhere else? You know, you want to be sure that the story you're telling is really geared to the audience. You know, it's kind of interesting that they say that the best spontaneity is that spontaneity that's been rehearsed. Practice, practice, practice. You know, you may have to change your story in midstream, but you don't want to go into a meeting, into an environment with a story that you've never told before, that you haven't rehearsed, that you haven't prepared for. And what is a story all about? A story is about creating a picture. It's about creating an experience. It's about using as many senses as you can touch, as you can use in it. Somebody has likened storyteller to a painter doing a line drawing where in your imagination you fill in the rest of the painting. Have you ever been disappointed with a movie where you had read the book before? Because when you read the book, you filled in between the lines. You in your own mind, you created what that character looked like. You created what the house was like or the car they were driving. you actually even filled in some emotions in some of the scenes that weren't even talked about. But it was as if they were talked about in the book because you filled in the blanks. And then when you got to the movie, somebody else filled them in differently than you. And man, are you disappointed. This isn't the book that I read. Guess what? It is the book that you read. But it doesn't have the blanks filled in the way you would have filled them in. What makes a great story is when your listener can fill in the blanks. You want them to participate. Now, you don't want them to go off into Never Never Land. I don't want to be telling a story to illustrate a point on coaching, and they're thinking of starting a new school for children. I want to make sure that they're filling in the blanks the way I want. So I want to create a boundary that lets them work within that boundary. You want to make sure that you touch their senses. You know, there's an acronym that one of the writers I was reading about storytelling used, and it's called LOTS, LOTS, okay? And what that stands for is the language of the senses. What do you see, smell, feel, taste, and hear? When you trigger a sense in someone, when you trigger their senses, you bring them into the story with you. So you need to color between the lines with senses. What does it feel like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? Okay. You need to look at really what is the story supposed to do. You know, you need to know the point of the story. It's not just a story. There's a point to the story. You know, what was the point to the story that I started out today's program with? The point was a coach helps you identify where you want to go. He helps you step back and look at the bigger picture. Number two, you want to know what the customer or client is looking for. What are they looking to discover? If they're not interested in discovering what coaching is about, then a story with that being the point is not going to appeal to them. So make sure that you understand the audience and that the story you've got is going to fit that audience. Now, what does this mean? You know, since I read Peter's book, I have created an outline of 8 different stories that I'm proceeding to fill out so that I've got a toolbox with 8 stories that make 8 different points that I can use in different circumstances. Each one of them well rehearsed, each one of them carefully written, choreographed, so that it's going to accomplish the purpose that I want it to. But I've got to first identify the audience that I'm talking to so that I pick the right story. Maybe one of the most important points and the hardest one to learn is know when to quit when you're telling a story. Don't make it too long. You know, make sure that you're taking the temperature of the audience, that you're looking at how close are they really following. Now, many stories don't really make the point because they haven't been put together carefully. You know, you want to look at what the chronology of the story is. Now, you know, I read a funny quote. I wish I could remember where I read it. I would give credit to that author. But he said, you know, unless you're telling a story about assembling an IKEA bookshelf, then it doesn't need to start at the beginning. Start it where it's interesting. Start it where it's interesting, and then you can go back. How many great movies have we seen or books have we read that started with an exciting event and then went back and filled in and brought us up to date to that event? You know? You want to make sure that your story is telling people, you know? You want to make sure that it's as if you were there. This is your story. You know, one of the suggestions that was made is, are you using too much jargon? You know, you don't want to use a story with all kinds of jargon. And the story I used at the start of the show I talked about a VAR sales company. Big mistake. Right away, some people in the audience may have stopped listening to me because they're going, VAR? What did he say? What is that word? I don't know it. What does he mean? So you don't want to use jargon. I could have used another term. It was a sales company. Who cares what they sold? It wasn't relevant to the point. Okay? So you want to make sure that you know that. You want to make sure that the people in your story are believable, that they're real life characters that we can identify with. You want to make sure that the story comes across real. Okay? Again, you know, you want to have a clear purpose. You want to know where you're going with this story. You want to identify, you know, the stories all have a basic makeup to them. You identify the characters. You create a situation that the characters are in. You identify that the characters aren't going to get out of the situation. You have a seeming relief for the characters where they get out of the situation, but guess what? They don't really get out of it, and they're back into it again. And then finally, there's the success at the end of the story. You don't have to tell it in that order, though. You have to tell it, but including those things, but not necessarily in that order. So, again, what are we looking for? We're looking for, you know, the ability to tell a story as if we were sitting down talking one-on-one. You know, I could have started the story saying, this is a true story, except I've changed the names. I didn't feel it was necessary to give you that other detailed information at the very beginning. You want to tell a story with facts and enough detail that it's believable, but you don't want to tell it in such a way that it clouds what you're really doing. Okay? You want to tell a story that is interesting, not that's persuading. In other words, a sales presentation. I mean, what comes to your mind when I say a sales presentation? Death by PowerPoint? Somebody advocating a position very strongly, and there's nothing but positive information that's leading you up to this obvious conclusion of buy my product or service? No, that's not what you want to do. You don't want it to be persuading. You want it to be entertaining. You want it to be informational. And let the audience persuade themselves. In fact, one of the great tools of storytelling is to take a position that's the opposite of the one that you want the audience to take. After you've set them up, you know, that this is what they should do, take a different position and let the people in the story do something different, you know? Don't read your story. Tell your story. Has anybody shown up with notes to tell you jokes? Hey, I had a great joke today. Hold on a minute. Let me pull out my notes and read you the joke. No, that isn't. That would, you know, I've lost interest at that point in time. You want to make sure that you end the story on a positive note. You don't want to tell a story with an unhappy ending. Even if the circumstances aren't good, something terrible happened, what is the positive lesson that can be learned from that they can take away? You know, you want to make sure that the audience has been invited to dream with you. You know, what if? What if you were in that position? Or just imagine that that was happening to you. You know, you don't want to give too many details in the story. You want to give enough to be believable, but not too many details. So those are some of the tips for storytelling. But what is it that we're really talking about here? We're really talking about a way of selling by telling the story. If I come in, you know, why when you go to the fair do they have the Gungeon knife set up? I don't even know if they do that anymore, but the guy with all of the knives, or the guy on the late night TV with the slice and dice kind of stuff. You know, he is telling a story visually by showing you what it does. Would I buy the knife if you gave me a sheet and said, here's the facts, the blade's 4 1/4 inches long, it's made of this kind of steel, the way we made this steel is we ordered it from this steel company, it was subjected to this kind of heat, this kind of cold, it was then pressed, it's been tested. I'm not interested in all those facts. I'm interested in a story. Here's a cool knife. This is what it does. Look how it slices paper. Look how it doesn't cut me. Look how it never gets dull. Let me take this knife and saw through a 2x4 with it. How do you think that's going to work on your steak? Those are stories. We remember those stories better than we would remember the statistics. Okay? So we really want to make it believable. We want to make it interesting. We want to make it something that is going to capture your audience's attention. And you want to capture their attention right at the very beginning. You know, but you've got to somehow wrap around that story what's in it for them. There has to be an obvious moral to this story of what am I going to do with it? So what is the moral to the story that I was telling? Hey, the moral to the story that I was telling is what? Coaching is about working with husbands and wives. Well, that was, you might have drawn that from the story. Coaching isn't all about business. Might have drawn that from the story. Hopefully, the story that I told is coaching is about exploring what is it that you're passionate about and working with you to identify how to make that happen. Now, I could have made that story 3 or 4 times longer by telling about how he sold the business, how he found a partner, how he got the financing to create the school for children, what were some of the obstacles that he ran into in setting up the school, what were some of the successes that he had as he started it, what were some of the high points once the school was going. But you know what? It wasn't about trying to convince you to start a school for children about chess. It was about coaching. It was about what do I do with a client. So you want to be real clear about what the point is that you're trying to make with your audience. You know, the issue here, I'm at a loss for words because I really want to get across the point that we sell best when we're telling stories. It's because I remember your stories. It's because they become real to me. It's because you become real to me. So I would encourage you, pick up Peter Guber's book, Tell to Win. Give it a good read. Go on the internet. There's lots of great information on storytelling, on using words to change people's minds. All of that is great stuff. I think it can help you. You do not want to go out and sell your coaching by explaining the process. I could care less about the process. Look at today's most popular ads that you see on TV, car ads. I don't know that anybody spends more money than the automobile companies for advertising. How often are they selling you the statistics on the car? They're telling you a story. You know, the one that comes to my mind is, I think was the Jennifer Lopez commercial for the Fiat. It didn't give any of the statistics about the Fiat, but the first time I saw it, immediately when that was over, I had to go on the web and get more information about that car because it excited me. It was a great story. I remembered it. How many commercials do I not even remember what they're trying to sell? So go to work on your story. Think about the next time somebody asks you what you do, the next time you're trying to talk somebody into coaching, tell them a success story that you've had with coaching that they can relate to, that solves a problem that is close to what their problems are. This is the best way that you will have of explaining your business. Well, I hope that I've given you some information. It's a short program tonight. I have to jump in the car and rush off to the ICF Orange County meeting. They've asked me at the last minute to moderate the panel tonight. So, I can't do two things at once. Multitasking, I'm not great at, especially doing today's show out of the car. I guess I should have checked with our producer, Paul. Maybe there's a way to do that. I didn't want to chance it. So, hey, next week we have a great guest for you. Be sure to tune in. We're going to be talking to Joan Freelander. Joan is an author, coach. She has a new book coming out that's called Business from Bed. Now, the book is really geared to people with health problems and how they deal with those health problems and the transition from being a healthy, involved employee or business owner to having to redefine your life as some health obstacle. I was really honored that Joan and her publisher asked me to read a preliminary copy of the book and comment on it. And my first thought for when I read the book was, you know, I don't have a health problem that I could relate to this book, but I think anybody in any kind of transition, lost your job, had a blow up with your partner, the market conditions changed and you got to change your business. Anytime you've got a major transition and have to redesign who you are and who your ego is, I think this is a great book for you. So don't get hung up on the title and listen next week. We're going to have a great, interesting conversation with Joan. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you enjoyed the show today. Hope the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals. So get out there and tell a new story. Have a great day.
Well, you've been listening to the story of one man who approaches the world from a different point of view. The coaching perspective. Master Coach Doug Gefeller.